Hey, Project Big Screen listeners, you can find us every Monday on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or YouTube. Prime members can listen ad-free on Amazon Music.
What happens when you lock 18 coworkers in an office for 1 week to compete for $250,000 of cash? This is Surviving Barstool Season 5, presented by Rumble Premium. Each episode released 3 hours early, so get it ad-free before anyone else, only when you join Rumble Premium. Surviving Barstool premieres Sunday, August 9th at 5 p.m. on Rumble Premium, and everywhere else at 8 p.m.
To infinity and beyond!
The Lord tells me he can get me out of this mess, but he's pretty sure you're fucked.
This is why you fail.
You can't handle the truth!
Maybe. Maybe not. Maybe fuck yourself.
Say hello to my new friend!
You'll shoot your eye out, kid.
Say what again? Say what again? I dare you. I double dare you, motherfucker. Say what one more goddamn time.
What we've got here is failure to communicate.
Roads? Where we're going, we don't need roads.
Are you not entertained? Are you not entertained?
You guys want to hear Sicko Mode or Mo Bamba?
You hit our son!
Welcome to Lights, Camera, Barstool, episode 117. Jeff Lowe, Ken Jack, Troll Ballins. We are coming to you from a different recording platform this week because people have been complaining they could hear the inside of my nose, which is actually broken currently. People could hear the inside of my nostrils breathing and my typing. Somebody asked me what my words per minute were, so we switched over on a different recording platform. And here we are in a Sunday episode. Officially, all three of our teams can no longer win the Super Bowl, so that's cool.
Yeah. Brutal. Not this year.
Weekend for us, me and Troy. We had a tough weekend, I think.
I'd already accepted it. I had a little bit of hope that maybe the Colts could pull some magic, but I was, like I said last week, I was just glad I didn't have to lose or didn't have to witness my team losing to New England again.
Yep.
Because that is like
Brendan Clancy's desk.
That's to me, that's the sports version of the Tears and Rain monologue from Blade Runner is watching my team lose to New England. It's like I've seen things you people wouldn't understand.
You said, I think after the first touchdown, you messaged us. You're like, this is so fucking bad.
Well, nobody was around the Chiefs receivers. They were just doing whatever they wanted to. It was frustrating, but then I got used to it. And I was rooting for the Chargers because Ken Jack is on the pod with me and my friend. And so yeah, I'm loyal. Here. But now I'm rooting for the Chiefs, I think. I'm sorry to all those Patriots fans out there. I respect your team greatly. I want to see Andy Reid come away with the Super Bowl. That's a good story.
He deserves it. Also, you had a bet, but I don't think anyone saw what was going to happen in this Chargers Patriots game coming. Like I certainly didn't. I thought it was going to be a defensive game, like super low scoring, and it was just a fucking blowout from start to finish. Like the Chargers did this whole weird zone coverage that where they just don't cover. They will not cover either Edelman or James White. They're like, let's make sure we don't cover one of these people at all times, one or the other, and then just got fucking annihilated from start to finish.
All year, I did power rankings for the NFL, and even the Patriots were looking like this team is just maybe not very good. I still ranked them top 10 because I kept saying, I'm like, I don't want to be that guy who they dig up this shit when they win the Super Bowl, and I look like a fucking moron. I'm like, this team's going to do something, and they're just going to be impressed. I don't want old Herb ass old takes exposed to be tweeting out some article he found that I wrote like 10 weeks ago. Now I didn't think they'd be this great, but it's like, good God, man.
That was domination. Like it wasn't even close at any point.
It was a sports equivalent to Bane breaking
Batman
over his knee.
Yeah.
And just completely shattering his back. And that's what I feel like every time I watch the Colts lose to the Patriots. So my team lost this weekend, but they didn't lose against New England. So it's kind of a win for me.
The way I spin zoned it is that so Barstool is the company I work for, and Barstool is built on the backs of Patriot fans. So it's kind of a win for me, too, because the fans that help pay my salary got a win out of it. So sort of a win for me.
You did message the group yesterday and say, I hope the Chiefs I'm sorry, I just want my shirts to sell well, which was kind of a gut punch to me, but look, I understand that.
I don't care. I respect your fandom, but I also like to make money. There's a fine line between that friendship and money line.
I think it'd be different if the Colts had not won a Super Bowl in my adult lifetime. That's always been my take, is I've got to witness my team win a Super Bowl. Not a lot of people can say that. Well, I mean, a lot of people can say that. Not a lot of fan bases can say that right now. I mean, what if you're like a poor Arizona Cardinals fan or a Chargers fan or a Minnesota Vikings fan?
It's like, going to the Super Bowl, though, five different teams, only five have gone to the Super Bowl from the AFC since like 2000, 2001. That's ridiculous.
So it sucks to see your team lose, but I saw what I wanted to see. I'll always support them, but I'm good. I saw it. It was cool.
Our executive producer and a guest from our last pod, PFD commenter, he lost a bet. Chargers Patriots bet. He now has to wear a suit every day for the next 17 days, including weekends. And he has to be weekends because Big Cat and Hank, and if you don't know, pardon my take, that's kind of weird, but their pod, they had a bet with him, and they can request at any point during the weekend a photograph of what he's wearing at that moment. So he has to wear the suits during the weekend. So he was hedging. He's like, these are comfortable, but fuck that. That's just too much.
No, go ahead, Kenjack.
I was just going to say, I think the only thing I did wrong with this prep up for the Chargers game is that if you don't know Marty Mush with Barstool, he's a bit of a gambling guy, and he lives up to his name in that he gets a lot of mush moments. I used him as a proxy for a bet. So like, I don't have a book or anything, and I don't bet on football like almost ever. And like, I don't think I've ever bet on an NFL game, but I bet $100 on the Chargers +4. And I did it through Mush. And I think it negatively affected their play because they were really bad. I think the juju is there.
Yeah, I don't know about that. I don't gamble. I'm not a gambling guy.
Me neither.
I will say this, going back to the suit thing. A suit feels great the first 3 hours you have it on. And then when you're looking good, you're feeling good, yep, you got the power going on, and then you're like, I really wish I was not wearing this suit.
That's very true. Very true. Yeah, for Kenjack's bet, if you don't know who Marty Mush is, he's very bad at – he's not bad at gambling. What he's very good at is losing like very bad ways. Like his best skill is losing in incredible viral moment ways. It would be like you trying to transfer your car from one city to another and having somebody who's crashed cars like 100 times drive the car for you. So it was a ballsy move.
But, it was. The weird thing is like – so when I do bet on sports, like – the two bets I made this year, one was Purdue beating Ohio State, right?
Hell yeah.
No, nobody saw it coming. That was the first bet I made this year. And then I made another one. I said the Chiefs are going to win by 3 scores. And they did. And like, all right, I'm hot. I'm feeling it. I think I have some good juju going, and just fucked it. Fucked the whole game.
Yeah. Let me note, too, that I was feeling self-pity because of my injury, and so I was watching a movie at home, and I, using A-List, I had an extra movie slot. I bought a movie, went into the theater, and purchased myself a bucket of popcorn. Ooh. And brought it home and ate it during the movie.
Oh, that sounds so good.
If you can hear it.
Yeah. That is such a good move. I love taking a movie theater popcorn off premises.
It feels so like
you kill. It feels like you can't do it.
I know, which is
be able to do it,
which is ridiculous. I actually bring like, you know, those reusable shopping bags for grocery stores. I bring one of those in my coat pocket and I put the popcorn in there as if like it's, I have to like sneak it out like Danny Ocean. I don't know why I do that. Nobody cares, but I do that as if like it's some violation that I'm leaving with the popcorn.
Underrated movie theater experience moment is when you take a bathroom break and you're just standing in one of the urinals and you're right up against another movie and you're hearing all the explosions and shit happening in that movie. You're like, that. Damn, I wonder what's going on in that movie.
Jeff, you ever go to the big theater, I think like 20 blocks north of our regular one?
Yeah.
That one has the single worst bathroom setup I've ever seen in my life. So, Tro, they have like a wall of urinals, like maybe 20 urinals. And they're maybe spaced out, like, I would say half a foot between each other. And there's no divider. Oof. Like, and there's not enough for, like, you just straight up see anyone's penis, like, with your peripheral. Like, there's no physical way to stop yourself from seeing the person next to you's penis.
What if you did, like, if you're Banksy and as an art installation, you went into a bath, like a big bathroom, and did lofted urinals with a great floor on top? Yeah. That'd be messed up, man. You ever take a dump at a movie theater?
No. Oh, yes. Whoa. Yes, because Ken Jack and I did a lot of those double features last year, and there was a couple times that we would be there for like an hour and a half between movies. So once, not great. Mm, no. I will say,
one time when somebody took a dump on the floor when we were doing a double.
Yes, feature. That's right. Pooped on the floor. I think we actually said that once. I think it's worth noting now that since we are firmly A-list guys, Ken Jack and I exploited the hell out of MoviePass, because whenever we, like, I used to work by the theater. So, like, I would leave work and then I would go into the theater. I would purchase my MoviePass movie, put it on my AMC account. So I'm spending at that point, 10 cents because of my annual fee. Like, it's like, it was at that point, it was like 5 or 10 cents a movie. But my AMC account thinks I was spending $20. So I'd get $20 credit on my account, earn points, take the ticket, rip it up, throw it away, and walk home. Big reason why MoviePass is probably pissing off theater chains, because we completely exploited it. But now we have A-list, so.
Now MoviePass is shifted and rebranded to being a website for ordering dog food.
Yeah. A porn house.
All right, let's get into some news. Movie reviews. We're reviewing Holmes and Watson. Can't wait. Holmes and Watson and Green Book this week. Green Book, which is like incredibly fucking controversial. We'll get into that this week. But in a vacuum of just what the movie is, it's pretty good. And then I think after that, we have Escape Room. And then we will be doing our movie catch up, just reviewing some of like the big, not big releases, excuse me, the smaller releases that are movies that are going to be nominated for Oscars. And we will do our top 10 of the year that week. And if you're interested, I'll be starting to count down my movies tomorrow. Counting down from 205 all the way to 1 starts tomorrow. All right. No, go ahead.
Just like how we did the best movie from every year.
Yeah.
This is going to be from my Twitter. This is from my Twitter. Okay. We'll finish that one day.
1980. We're going to 1981 now.
We'll finish that. All right. Glass. Apparently not a good movie. That's a big disappointment. Now, some people, I think Robbie Fox said it to me. He's like, this shouldn't be surprising, because how many bad movies has M. Night Shyamalan made in the last like 15 years or so? Like, this shouldn't be that, like, it shouldn't be surprising, because he had so many movies that were pretty, for the most part, clunkers. And then he had one that last year most people really liked. But then they assumed because of Unbreakable, this was going to be good. Look, most of the movies he's made since in the last 15 years, just not good. He made Unbreakable, Signs, and then The Village, Lady in the Water, The Happening, which is terrible. The Last Airbender, which is even terrible. Worse somehow. Even worse than The Happening somehow. And then After Earth, which is also terrible. So, and The Visit was, some people like The Visit. So, I mean, are we stupid? I guess that's my question. Are we dumb for being surprised by this, that this movie's apparently not very good?
I don't think it's unfair to be surprised by it, especially after Split, which I think we all enjoyed. Don't think everybody enjoyed Split, but we liked it, and Unbreakable is good. So just assuming that this was the third film in connected film universe, cinematic universe, as our audience loves the term, I think maybe expecting this movie to be good is not unreasonable, and I'm disappointed it's not.
Yeah.
Yeah, plus not just – I know M. Night Shyamalan's recent filmography outside of Split has been pretty bad, but like Unbreakable was a good movie, and Split was a good movie, so like I don't think it's insane to think that Glass would be good. I did, however, hear Steven Tyler loves Glass. Big fan.
Troll's up from the seat. Please say damn. The joke again.
No, it's too late, Troll. You have to listen on the pod.
I'll say it for you, because I don't want you – you're right. You can't repeat a joke that's embarrassing, so I'll say it for you. Ken Jack said he heard Steven Tyler like Glass.
Not registering?
Steven Tyler. Okay, so let me connect the dots. So
you put cocaine on Glass when you snorted. Wow.
I didn't know that. I mean, I thought it was a mirror. I thought you put it on a mirror.
What do you think mirrors? Oh, all right.
I know mirror is glass, but when you say glass, I think a glass coffee table that you can see.
All right, well, Jeff got it immediately, so it's not on me.
What
it is on me. I'm saying I'm a moron. I fully admit that.
I should have said like what's his name? Who's the smushed nose guy? Artie Lang. Nah, that'd have been too mean. That'd have been too mean. I'm glad I didn't.
I did think a curse on Philadelphia had been lifted. And so I thought that M. Night Shyamalan making a good movie again lifted a Philadelphia based curse, which then led into the Eagles winning.
Well, also Bryce Harper is supposed to sign with the Phillies by the end of the week. Like that's like a bona fide report.
So wait a second. So we're recording this right after the Eagles lost. Maybe Glass put the curse back on.
Yeah. Ooh.
Oh.
We're cooking with Glass. We're cooking with Glass right now, folks.
Whoa. Did M. Night Shyamalan's Glass reverse his broken curse by Split? That's a good theory.
I don't know. What were people saying about Glass?
You want me to read some of the reviews?
Yeah, like why don't they like it? Is it just too much dialogue? Is it just clunky?
Before I read them,
it's DD Mega Doo Doo.
I'm going to assume that some of it is because they tried to ham fist in a cinematic universe. Glass displays a few glimmers of M. Night at his twisty world building best, but ultimately disappoints as the conclusion to the writer director's long. God, the font is so fucking hard to read. I don't know. Long trilogy. Let's read some reviews. Put in the comic book terms, Glass takes too long to get from one panel to the next. The Sixth Sense, still only his only great film. Oof. Is also that's a bad one because yeah, he didn't like take. Split. It's great that Glass strives for deeper meaning. However, by throwing it so much at the audience so quickly and unravels its own goal. As we often say with Shyamalan, maybe next time. That's not a good bite. That doesn't tell anyone anything. With an ambitious and admirable scope, Glass is a film that shoots for the moon, but gets lost with too many detours on its journey, leaving us with a jumble mess of film. That's a good one. So that is good. And the other one I read, that gives a good picture. So it sounds like too much. It just sounds like you're getting way too much off the top.
Split was kind of a mess, though. It was a good mess.
Yeah, it was good, though. I think that was kind of headlined by good acting, though. There was no bad actors or actresses in that.
Yeah, that's very true.
He gets a lifetime pass for making whatever movie he wants just because he wrote Stuart Little.
You think he wrote the car? He's like, guys, you know me. I like twists.
I think that's from the book.
Oh, right.
I didn't even know there was a book.
Yeah, I guess I should have assumed that. Whatever. We'll say he did. We're going to credit M. Night with jinxing Philadelphia, but we're also going to credit him with writing the car in to Stuart Little.
I'm still excited for Glass, though.
Me too.
Maybe it's getting bad reviews, but I got a feeling it's going to be. We don't go sub 50 a lot. Some of that selection bias, because I don't think we picked really any truly heinous films in a long while.
Except for Possession of Hannah Grace.
Yeah, except for like here and there. So
though we are reviewing Holmes and Watson this week, but your point is not wrong.
Yeah, just in the latest run, I don't think we go sub 50. And I think I could see me giving Glass like a 60 because I like Heroes. I like Bruce Willis. I like McAvoy and Split. And I like Samuel Jackson. And if it's a mess, it's a mess. But it might be at least entertaining. It may not be a good movie. We said on the first episode that movies don't have to be great to be fun. So
yeah,
we'll see.
All right. Say, what's good music to play if we're correct? Like grave dancing music. Like if we're going to dance on someone's grave, what music should we play?
Well, if it's Philly, we should do Dreams and Nightmares, right?
No. We've moved on. This is the next news topic.
Oh, what's good music? Hold on. I got to go read the topics.
Don't spoil it, but you know what's about to happen.
Oh,
We need a good background. So this is still, I'm not cutting this. We need a good background song because I want people to be intrigued by what we're about to say.
I don't know. What's like something very Cajun?
Like Zydeco music? What? That's like the Cajun like street music.
Though. All right. That's what I'm going to play. I'm going to play the background here.
I thought you said Zemeckis music.
Like, no, it's Zydeco. Z-Y.
That's Zemeckis. Okay, I'll play that. Gambit shelved. We were fucking right. We've been right for months. We called this a very long time ago, albeit wasn't a very hard thing to call because this movie had been delayed a billion times. And unlike Avatar, didn't really like we make fun of Avatar, but it still has backing and it's been made. Gambit had none of that. Just nothing. It was always just like, it's going to come out this time. We got to rewrite everything and redo everything. Gambit shelved. We were right. Everyone else was wrong. Dr. Doom shelved as well. X-Force also shelved, which is kind of crazy. crazy because X-Force was going to be the Deadpool shootout, offshoot. Dr. Doom, I don't know what they expected from that because they got to redo the Fantastic Four franchise. This is all a casualty due to the Disney-Fox merger. This should close in March, which, again, a little bit of extra news. That further hammers home the point, even though Trill has said his sources tell him Wolverine will be in Avengers Endgame. But the deal not closing until March kind of further brings that one home. But, yes, this is gone. Gambit is done. I think it's just – seal the book on Gambit, maybe forever, right?
We hate on Gambit. Some people like Gambit, but even if you like Gambit, Gambit cannot carry a movie on his own.
No. No.
He cannot. He simply cannot. I bet the only thing they got done on production of this movie is a costume designer made a fucking trench coat. That's all they had.
And they designed the cards.
They fitted
a deck of cards.
Yeah, it was like a 44 athletic for Channing Tatum. And he probably wears 42. But 42 athletic for Channing Tatum. And they had that going. And that was it. And Disney walked in there. It's like, okay, show me Gambit. It's like, well, we really only got this trench coat.
Yeah. And here's a deck of cards.
You just got to say major RIP to Gambit. We never hated you, although we sort of do.
No, I hate Gambit.
Yeah, we hate him.
His dumb quarterstaff bullshit, whatever. Like, you're a dumb superhero with playing cards and you charge kinetic energy. Like, that's bad superheroes. And Channing Tatum, you got better stuff to do. Like, I think he's an in-demand enough actor that he could find better projects to do. At least even a different X-Men. Like, there's cooler ones out there. Make a new one about Cyclops. Cyclops is kind of cool, other than the fact that you don't see his eyes, which is kind of weird.
Gambit actually was turned into a mutant when he got too drunk and puked onto a craps table at the Harrah's Casino in downtown New Orleans. That's his origin story. Because he has the gambling theme, so it has to do something with gambling, right? For some reason, they decided to associate that Cajun accent with gambling. Well, he just pukes on a craps table at that Harrah's down in New Orleans.
And he pukes because he had one of those. Yes, he has one of those really long drinks. The colorful, like, long.
Oh, the Hurricanes.
The Hurricanes, yeah.
Well, the puke is a stream, and it connects him to the craps table and binds him. And
mon ami, this puke is coming in spades.
He was before he didn't even have a Cajun accent. Before that, he was just an LSU frat guy named Chad.
You know how in Ant-Man they go into like the quantum realm, and you can see all the little specks and everything part of it. That's how you see the connection of Gambit's vomit to the table. You see like the gumbo pieces, some crawfish. Yeah, you see.
You know, in Aquaman, when they went into his DNA or whatever, like animal creatures, it's going to go into his DNA and it's just playing cards.
Yeah, there's nothing
but playing cards floating around.
Instead of red blood cells, it's just like a red heart just like floating around in his blood.
All right, so closing the book on Gambit, X-Force, and Dr. Doom. Dr. Doom was definitely not going to happen. They have to reboot Fantastic Four. That's very, very obvious. How about this? Ninja Turtles reboot coming from the makers of A Quiet Place, not from John Krasinski. But Ninja Turtles reboot. Ken Jack, I'm going to assume you don't have much to say on this, so I'm going to dip over to Trill because he's the roomy mouth Turtles guy.
The accommodating mouth. I don't know how to feel about this because I will always hold a special place in my heart for the Ninja Turtles, but I do not know that we need another Ninja Turtles movie. I don't think we do.
Yeah, they struck gold at the first one, the first two anyway. They were that good.
the first one, but to be fair, the first one did achieve what it was meant to achieve. Right. Like for what they wanted to do.
Cashed in on a craze. And the puppets looked awesome.
Such a snarky laugh. It's like, but I mean, again, they did achieve what they wanted to do, and now they're honestly just making this for the people who enjoyed that movie. They're older, the adult versions. It's the same thing as it's the same thing in the sense that, like, old. And look, we fall victim to this too because I'm not saying Star Wars is a movie just for small kids, but it's like the people like, oh, this is not my Luke, or like, oh, I didn't like this. I'm like, I mean, again, we're all at fault of this, not just the whiny babies, but you have to remember that not everything's made for you. Actually, best example is that Kim Possible movie that Disney Channel's making. And everyone on Twitter who like grew up watching Kim Possible is like, who are they making this for? Kids. They're making it for kids. Like, there's no debate in this. Like, this movie's being made for kids. It's on Disney Channel. Like, they're not, you're 25, you're 30 years old. So I mean, they're making this movie though for older, which that's a different bar to raise when you're making it for an older generation. Like, they're definitely not making it for kids.
They're okay. Did you guys watch the Michael Bay ones?
Yes.
Yeah, that's what I was talking about.
Oh, I thought you were talking about the originals. The first ones, when I was talking about the puppets.
I said the last two. How could I possibly be talking about anything other than those?
I thought Jeff said the first two.
I thought you said the first two. Okay. All right, fair. Conceded point. Though I still feel like you have ill will harbored deep down for the originals, too.
I don't give a shit about them. They're just stupid-ass turtles. Like, who cares about them?
There it is. There it is.
It is. I think that's fair. I think that's fair.
It is fair.
They're not of your generation.
But beyond that, it's like the most ridiculous concept of like the weird Gen X people like that love that shit, like that and Thundercats. Like, let's just take an animal and make it slightly human and let's just like have kids love it because that's just a cool thing. Like, Thundercats is way creepier, but like just human turtles that do karate. That's so fucking stupid. I'm sorry.
I loved Thundercats when I was a kid, but it was one of those
snarf.
It was one of those shows that was created for delivering an action figure line. It was never intended to be some grand revived. These things don't need to be revived, is what I'm trying to say. Ninja Turtles goes beyond that because Ninja Turtles is like 80 times more popular than Thundercats ever was. But after the last two Michael Bay ones, it's, you know, what are you going to do? You going to do another Ninja Turtles origin story? They already went back in time, for God's sakes. And that was in 92.
Turtles in Time. In Time should have actually ended that franchise for good.
Shirley, your generation is so weird. Unlike mine, which had a talking sponge that captured the nation with his undersea friends that were snarky and made porn references every now and then in the first season and throughout.
So I don't know. We'll see. I don't know what to expect. I guess, again, my grand point is that I think if these are the people behind it, it's probably being made for an older generation, which is you run the risk of it being bad because you cater to the Easter eggs as opposed to making something, you know, maybe for a new generation. So it's not as much like Star Wars. I'm thinking it more in the fact of that Kim Possible thing. That's a better example.
I think the original Ninja Turtles comic, which the animated series and toy franchise was based off, was had a darker tonality to it. It was a bit grittier. So it will be interesting to see if they go and try to adapt something that's more, that's closer to what they did in the comics. I would doubt it. I think they're probably going to go pretty close to the animated series, which will, you know, whatever. Like, I kind of like that first Michael Bay Ninja Turtle one.
Hmm. I don't know.
They were aliens.
Yeah.
That's cool.
I don't know. I didn't love them. I actually like the second one a little more, only because of Bebop and Rocksteady. More animals. There you go, Kendrick. More animals that do things.
Yeah. Watch Cowboy Bebop instead.
Oh. Two MCU pieces of news before we have a sponsor that actually Kenjack's gonna talk about the sponsor a little bit. Black Widow potentially gonna be a rated R movie. They're mulling over a rated R Black Widow. I think more in the likes of Deadpool. All right, that's not exactly what everyone's thinking about.
We'll have to get Buddy Pounds on for that one.
Buddy Pounds, yeah. And then Spider-Man Far From Home trailer. We don't have to touch too much on this because I think we've talked about it plenty. Kind of crazy they're already releasing a trailer, but I get that's how you market a movie. Spider-Man Far From Home trailer dropping on Tuesday. It's a ballsy move from Sony. You would think Sony would devote a little more time for the next month to promote their other Spider-Man movie, which is one of the best movies of the year, but it's Sony. So
we're it's in London, right?
Yeah, it's a – okay. This is one of those things I'm about to say, which exposes me as a big nerd.
You probably know that.
Yeah. It's an affirmation. There is a fruit snacks box that has some Far From Home art on it. Mm-hmm. And it has different stickers for different countries. There's like, and cities like Florence, London. So it could be all over Europe. He's on a school trip, apparently.
Do you think we'll get a shot of him spinning around Big Ben?
Maybe.
I think that will be in the trailer. That'll be my trailer prediction. It's going to be Spider-Man either swinging from Big Ben or doing one of those things where he spins around it trying to wrap someone up on it.
He's definitely going to spin around Big Ben. I think that's for sure going to happen. I don't know what to expect. I mean, it's going to be a lot of Mysterio.
It's just going to be a montage of him swinging from historical landmarks. Just swinging from the Brandenburg Gate.
So that's that. But what about Black Widow rated R? Kind of cool.
Horny I am.
Yeah, you know, well, I don't know.
Crush me with your feet, please.
I don't think I have an opinion on Black Widow being rated R.
There was a Black Widow rated R movie. It was called Red Sparrow, and it stunk. Wait, can we say that now? Too late. We already rated the movie. And we didn't like it. We hated it. And that came out in last year. So
yeah, but that's not an action movie.
No, it's not a comic book movie either. But I like this idea. I think they do have to make some of these a little different. And that's what they need to do in this next phase. And if Deadpool is going to remain rated R, why not give it a try with Black Widow?
Hey, Thanos, fuck you. Rated R, Black Widow.
It's just going to be Black Widow going around just killing a lot of humans after battling aliens. It's like, yeah. This shit's easy.
So that is being mulled as the MCU news. We'll talk about the Spider-Man trailer on Thursday. That'll be a fun breakdown. I'm curious what they show. It's, I mean, again, I the Endgame thing is whatever. We know Spider-Man's coming back. It's not a big deal.
We know we also know he's far from home.
Yeah, true. Hammer that Spider-Verse stuff more. Come on, make the focus on your Spider-Verse campaign.
You also know he's not feeling so good.
Yeah, yeah. All right, first ad read tonight. This show is brought to you in part by Burrow. Burrow couches. If you got big changes in the new year, why don't you make a couch one of those? You don't want the hand-me-downs. You don't want a couch that you found out on the side of the road that, you know, your weird neighbor left out there. Get a fresh couch. Get a new couch, durable, stylish. Sofa from Burrow has a USB charger in the fucking couch. No more scrambling behind the wall, needing a flat extension port because, you know, you got to push the couch back. It's great. And Ken Jack today, during the electric chair, live on Barstool social media accounts, sat on a Burrow couch for the Chargers. And that's, I think, part of the reason why you were okay. You weren't okay with the loss. You got over it because you were sitting on a nice Burrow couch.
Yeah, because even though the Chargers weren't performing, the actual Chargers in the couch were performing.
Yes.
And charging my phone the entire time. And, you know, it's sustainable products. It's really durable. And it's, what do you call it, free to ship, free and fast shipping. And $75 off with the aforementioned promo code, which Jeff will tell you because I don't know it.
Yeah, you can make your New Year's resolution of a new couch come true. Save $75 on a new Burrow sofa by visiting burrow.com/lights. That's Burrow, B-U-R-R, two R's, OW.com/lights, L-I-G-H-T-S, to save $75 on your sofa. Free shipping. I mean, it's they're nice couches. They're cool couches. You know, we promote a lot of different stuff, but we've never promoted a couch before.
I've always said that couches are good.
Yeah.
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 I've often said this.
I like a good sectional. Sectionals are cool. All right.
You take that corner spot in the sectional, there's nothing better.
It's a power.
Oh, I love it. I love it so much.
Yeah. All right. Next up, the Saw writers are going to be doing a Final Destination reboot. I don't know.
Dude, I love this. I love Final Destination. Which one is it? Where the guy was behind the car or the truck, like hauling logs, and the log comes in and crushes them. I've been terrified whenever I was ever on the road behind a truck like that ever since. Like, I could not drive the same since seeing one.
Let it be known that Final Destination 3 was the original Choose Your Own Adventure on DVD before Bandersnatch. You could choose your own fate, choose their fate on Final Destination 3 DVD. So, yeah, they were first. There's a whole entire – I mean, there's a Wikipedia for everything, but it's funny. There's a Final Destination Wikipedia. How many people visit this a day? 100? Max.
Yeah. What were some of the other Final Destination deaths? Because that log one, I think that – was that from the first one?
I think it's the first one.
That's the one that always pops to mind. There was a roller coaster one too.
The plane one, like the one that like he originally avoids – when the plane just fucking explodes. That always scared me too. Cause then I remember after I first watched it, I flew very soon after that and it scared me.
There's also like a massage room one, I think, where this person gets electrocuted or something. I don't know.
Someone definitely gets electrocuted by like a loose wire in a puddle.
There's one with a tanning bed too, I believe.
Oh, maybe that's, I don't know.
What's the car one?
The car one is the one where the whole first one, or no, the whole second one, I think is,
based around the car crash. The first one's based around the plane. So the second one, I think, is the one with the car crash. I'm trying to see some of these other ones.
Looking at him right now. Oh, there's a guy who was blown back by a propane tank, and then he got smushed through a chain link fence.
Oh,
like cut braided?
Up, yeah, cut up into a bunch of different pieces.
Oh, God.
Allie Lauder, I forgot she was in the first one. Oh, she's in like all of them, right?
Oh, there's a person that broke their whole entire body in half in gymnastics.
Oh, dude, Sean William Scott was in the first one.
Yeah, there you go. There's Final Destination 3 had the tanning bed death.
Yeah, hell yeah.
Man, these are fucking brutal movies, man. Fuck these movies. I've never liked the Final Destination movies. Not my thing.
I got to rewatch them because, what do you call it? I can't believe this is the thing that scared me about planes, because this movie came out in 2000, pre-9/11, different world.
Oh, I have a guarantee for this one. A guarantee. Lock. One of them will involve a self-driving car.
Yeah. It's definitely going to be like all millennial death types. Like someone has an exploding phone charger or something, or exploding jewel. Yeah, that's it.
Somebody's Alexa accidentally orders like razor blades that they trip on the package and fall on the razor blades or something.
They order in a cruise missile strike on their house.
There's the one that got hit with her head taken off by a tire.
What would be some millennial deaths that could happen in this new one? I think exploding jewel. I think agree with Trill's self-driving car.
Exploding jewel. That, I mean, yeah, that is a shoo-in.
The exploding jewel is something that is definitely going to, or maybe not the actual brand, but e-cigarette device. A podcast mic, like being blown back into someone's skull.
Someone celebrates winning like a Victor Royale and falls out a window.
Somebody
trips doing the default dance.
Yeah, that's it. That's it. That's way better.
All right, so that's coming from the Saw makers, which I guess, whatever, they wrote those, so I'm sure they can write these. Here's some big news. We actually, PFT spoke this into existence on our pod last week, and then said to Kevin Hart in an interview, hey, can you tell Eddie Murphy to make funny movies again? Congrats to our guy Darren Revell, his favorite movie of all time, Coming to America. You can listen to his episode with us. He did Coming to America impressions on our podcast last year, I think in January, a year ago. Coming to America 2 is on, and Eddie Murphy's going to be in it. Do we give a shit? Do we care at all?
I care in the sense that I want it to be good, but I'm not sure it will be good. It's been a long time.
I don't care. I don't care at all. I never was like a huge Coming to America guy in the first place, so I don't think that this really moves needles for me. Like, it's definitely a good movie, just not like over the moon about it like our boy Long Receipts Man.
I would like it if maybe they, even though it's called Coming to America, it spent more time in Zamunda.
Maybe they will.
I don't know.
I can see that.
I'm going to make my own version, except it's me. The same title. It's me watching Superstore. Get it?
Oh, God.
Oh, no.
That's another cut.
No, keep that.
Don't. No, I'm going to keep that in.
Now people are going to be like, what was the first thing you cut?
Oh, no. By the way, I bleeped out PFT mentioning Anthony Weiner on the last podcast, but I forgot the third time he mentioned it. So I bleeped the first two times he said his name, and then I didn't bleep the third one.
First of all, I never said it.
I said PFT. I said PFT.
PFT said it. Oh, I thought you said you mentioned it. But then you said it. You didn't blink yourself.
Maybe that's what it was. Yeah, which was funny because someone's like, he said Anthony Weiner. You forgot to bleep it. I'm like, oh, whoops. Sorry. All right. So let's move on.
I think that's the best. I thought it was an awesome joke. I'm just saying.
It's a really good joke. It was so good that we had to think about it for a second. But I got it. Don't worry.
Trill, I didn't think that would take you a minute or two because you, what do you call it? I thought you liked her, like specifically in Superstore.
I don't think I have as filthy of a mind as you, my friend.
Yeah, that was inappropriate. All right. Let's move on. Coming to America 2 is on. Congrats to Revell. He'll come on the pod to review that with us and talk about CVS receipts, our good boy. Which, by the way, I've been going to CVS lately here and there. No long receipts. I haven't gotten any.
That's thesis.
All the jokes on social media, they finally correct. Why were those receipts long? Because of the coupons?
Yeah. Do you know anyone who says coupons, by the way?
Coupon?
I don't know anybody that says coupon. I'm sure they exist. For a second, I thought I may have said that wrong, though. I'm
like, no, you okay. Said coupons. I know people say coupons. Yeah. Next up, is Billy Zane making a comeback? He's going to be playing Marlon Brando in an indie film, keep in mind. But he is in a movie we're reviewing next week. Little hint, it's not Green Book. But Billy Zane, comeback tour for Billy Zane? What do we think?
Billy yeah. Zane never left in my eyes.
Okay.
Yeah, I want him back. I'm a big-time Billy Zane guy. I want to see him come back with a vengeance. I liked him in the movie that we're going to talk about. And he also just sort of looks like Marlon Brando. I think that's a good pick.
Yeah, he's daddy.
Yeah, big-time daddy vibes. I'm in your boy Frank Reich.
He pulled off when he first came out with that shaved hair. Is it like in Zoolander?
Yeah.
Did he have a bald head in Zoolander? I don't know. When I first saw him with the bald head the first time, I was like, damn, he's really rocking that shit.
The movie, I don't know if it's going to be anything to write home about, but if he's going to start being in more things and people are going to note it, good for him. Good for Billy. Bald Billy. He's going to have hair in this movie, I assume, though. One more piece of news. Then we move on. Cool picture released for Hobbs. Excuse me. Fast and Furious presents Hobbs and Shaw. Because why not make the movie title long as shit? It's a picture of Jason Statham, Dwayne The Rock Johnson, also known as DJ, and Idris Elba. And Idris Elba, I'm going to be honest, stunts on both of them. Looks like a real badass in that picture. So another new image of Hobbs and Shaw. I feel like I'm kind of looking forward to this movie. Like, just for the popcorn reasons. Just for the reasons to go see an IMAX or Dolby and just enjoy a real punch him up. But at the same time, we're going to get that with John Wick Chapter 3. So the lust on Hobbs and Shaw is probably going to be worn off, right? Like, I feel like that's going to hurt it a little bit.
And this photo, you take Jason Statham in any movie, I'm like, that is a very jacked, in-shape man. But he looks like a teenager next to The Rock. And that, I mean, he's not. He's like obviously very in shape and all that shit and a beautiful, beautiful man. But like next to The Rock, he's just so gigantic that and I'm glad they didn't like do the Vin Diesel thing where they try to like force the perspective to make him look not as small as he actually is.
Yeah, that's true. That'd be really awkward. But I guess we kind of know how small he is. The Vin Diesel thing, that's such like a, I mean, I don't know what the right word for it is, but nobody really like knows that who just knows movies casually that he really isn't a big guy.
Mm-mm.
Yeah, just like people didn't know Christian Bale was English or Welsh, whatever.
This photo's kind of interesting, though. I mean, what's going on in the background? It looks like
the cars.
Yeah, they're like military vehicles, and they're loading trucks of some sort. And there's a whole bunch of them.
Vehicles.
Cool. By the way, I've used an absolute disservice to The Rock here, but not reading the caption on Instagram. Executive.
That sounds like something he would say, though.
Good start. Yeah, an executive taste. An exclusive little taste of biggest. Now I can't read. He can't write. An exclusive little taste of biggest showdown the summer has ever seen. The outlaw lawman, Hobbs. The international spy, Shaw. The baddest bad guy the Fast and Furious franchise has ever had, Brixton.
By the way, like that first part is how every video game ad in a magazine was written in the
90s. We're either going to get along or we get it on. wait. He actually read, this is not The Rock typically. I'm going to read this again. We're either going to get along or we get it on. Fuck getting along. Getting it on is way more fun.
Yoda agree.
On a biz note, this film has been a fun one to produce, and our world emoji audience is going to have an absolute blast summer. His forming of that caption all over the place. Abbreviations, he used the three U's in the word fuck. The emojis, that's a wild caption.
He's doing this just to piss Tyrese off. I guarantee you.
Yeah.
It's like when you're dating someone new in your early 20s. You're like, oh, I just had a wonderful weekend.
Had a great weekend here, Tyrese. We're getting it on. We're not getting along.
Do you think that The Rock is maybe... By the way, the second comment on this picture is IM_spams_69. Do you think he is the number one guy in terms of longest captions to most people who read it on Instagram. Like, not many people can get away with long captions on Instagram, but I feel like The Rock, people read them. People hit that read more button.
Hmm. Yeah, definitely.
Chrissy Teigen?
Probably. The Kardashians, probably, but it's not many.
It is a great ass picture, though. I love their outfits, like the jumpsuits or whatever, because it looks like Jason Statham is wearing some sort of canvas, but then Brixton is wearing like some sort of leather or pleather deal.
It's a Captain Marvel suit.
Yeah, it does kind of look like a Captain Marvel suit. And then The Rock's just wearing, of course, like basically sleeveless t-shirt with like a vest. It looks badass as fuck. And they're all like stanced up like the Lucky Luciano meme.
Also, Jason Statham was a bad guy in the universe, so apparently he's not the most badass. Charlize Theron was a bad person, woman.
The Rock was a bad guy too.
Yeah, so it's,
he was a cop.
Yeah, I guess he does have the right to say that then. That's fair.
Brixton!
Brixton.
That sounds like a quarterback in the Big Ten.
Just sounds like Brexit. It sounds like he saw the word Brexit and went, let's call him Brixton. Like that's basically what it is.
It's a very British word or name. Yeah.
By the way, for those listening, I was able to see the Brexit movie with Benedict Cumberbatch. It is terrible. Terrible. Must watch. Really weirdly put together. His character is strange. I can't believe he did it. I really can't. I'm very desperate to know how much he got paid for that movie. I really want to know. It's super strange.
Boris Johnson, I think I'm going to do a Brexit. And then Benedict Cumberbatch, you fucking what, mate? You fucking what?
In the first scene, they make a pop culture reference. Oh, no, they say...
Cheeky like, little Brexit.
He's talking about... They're in an art museum talking about forming the team for the Brexit. And he goes, huh, Avengers Assemble. It's like, oh... Yeah. Siphon goodwill from Marvel, which the Oscars is going to do, by the way. The Oscars officially going with no host, and they want to bring all the Avengers on stage.
Shitty thing to do, right?
Wonder why. Don't nominate comic book movies like Spider-Verse, which they might not do, or Logan, or The Dark Knight, but yeah, exploit the $2 billion movie. Okay, one more ad read here. Who's the lucky winner? Let's see. Lucky winner of the ad read is going to be Dollar Shave Club. That's right. Dollar Shave Club has everything we need to look and feel the best that we can. We all have facial hair.
Yeah.
We use Dollar Shave Club. You never have to go to the store.
Well, shaving is like a Brexit for your facial hair.
That's very true. Dollar Shave Club delivers everything we need right to our door. That's why we use it. Keeps us fully stocked. We don't run out. All of that. They have everything you need. You determine what you want and when you want it. This is kind of like the other thing the product we hawk, which I'm not gonna say the name. No free ads. You want it, and it shows up right to your door once a month, or once every 6 months. You can determine that on your own. You get all the stuff you need to shave, much more. Right now they've got a bunch of starter sets you can try for just $5, like their oral care kit. After that, the restock box ships regular size products at regular price. I don't know what you're waiting for. Get your starter set for just $5 right now at dollarshaveclub.com/lights. That's dollarshaveclub.com/lights. All right. A couple audience questions. Then we're going to wrap this up. Not the longest pod in the world, but I don't have to tell you. Got an interview with Haley Joel Osment next Sunday, so look forward to that. All right, audience questions here. If you could combine the plots of any two movies to make one movie, what would they be? And you can do more than two. Fuck it. Let's cheat. Any two movies. Combine the plot. KFC Radio, Fights came over and told us this, and I thought it was a good idea.
Scooby-Doo and Garfield.
Okay. What would the conceit
be? Wow.
Yeah, Garfield's trying to solve mysteries, and he also hates Mondays, dude. Not hard to put it. Maybe something with District 9, like District 9 and Day After Tomorrow.
Can I just say that we had to re-record this, and you initially said Goodfellas and Garfield, and you said that Ray Liotta doesn't like Mondays?
Yeah. Oh, man, I love Chantix. I just hate Mondays. Just as funny the second time I said it.
Garfield, where's the lasagna?
Billy Bats, I love Chantix. Just hate this Garfield guy.
I said Inception, National Treasure, and Ocean's 11. Just give me a heist movie. I'm trying to think of other universes, though. What about Patton Oswalt's Star Wars and Marvel crossover, like he says in Parks and Rec in his extended rant? I don't know Parks and Rec as well.
Wait, say it again?
Patton Oswalt's extended rant in like a town hall meeting or whatever, where he talks about how like Thanos is in Star Wars, like it's a Marvel Star Wars crossover.
Yeah, he's like filibusters a meeting.
Yeah,
by talking about like comic book shit, which I'm pretty sure Patton Oswalt just knows, so he just made something up on the spot.
Yeah. Maybe do that. I don't know. That's a good question, though. Fuck it. You know, with all these Coming to America too, I'd rather just see you crossover movies. Like, where? Give me the Men in Black 21 Jump Street. If we're not going to be creative on things, which I don't care, I'll eat anything up, then at least give me something that you got to force yourself to be creative and make movies work. You know, mash them up.
Mr. and Mrs. Smith and that one movie where John Hamm and Gal Gadot.
Meet the Cranks?
No, it wasn't Meet the Cranks.
Our Neighbor's the Spy?
Yeah, something like that.
Mr. and Mrs. Smith and Marvelous Mrs. Maisel crossover universe. I think my actual pick would be...
Wait. Keeping Up with the Joneses. That's what it was.
Oh.
Yeah.
Was it?
Yeah.
The Spy Who Dumped Me and... Mr. and Mrs. Smith. No, I think our actual one would be, let's combine Chappie, our boy Chappie, it's Chappie, and what's the one I actually picked before? Blade Runner. Let's say Blade Runner. Blade Runner and Chappie, let's throw them together. Mm-hmm. And Dredd. And Batman.
And Superman.
And Sasquatch Gang.
And Iron Man. Just put them all on there.
You guys ever watch Sasquatch Gang?
No.
That's a funny movie.
No, I don't think I have.
Carl Weathers is in it.
Game. No, I have not watched Sasquatch Gang. No,
it's fucking ridiculous. It's a really weird indie comedy, but it's very funny.
Oh, Kevin Spacey was a producer.
Oh, never mind. I hated that shit.
Wow, dude, you love that movie?
Man, I love Chantix, but I hate Sasquatch Gang.
All right, next up. Would you rather every movie you go to be completely empty or 100% full? Trill, I know the answer for this one for you. Empty. Empty that theater to nothingness.
I want to hear crickets in the aisle.
That's more annoying than having people.
Yeah, that probably would be.
Not literally.
You didn't think that through, you dumb bitch.
Yeah, it's tough. I like empty theaters. Holmes and Watson, I saw mostly empty. I wish it was more empty, but then like Avengers, Mission Impossible. I don't know. I kind of want people in the theater. Comedies especially. A comedy can be funnier if you're watching it in a theater with full people. Like, obviously, if a comedy's hilarious there and you go home and watch it again and it's not, then it's probably not funny. But it adds the experience, you know? It makes it more fun.
Mm. I am going with empty. I do think that a lot of movies are very heavily influenced by the theater experience. What we were saying before, Disaster Artist was heavily influenced. All the Marvel movies were made way better by the theater experience in opening night. But the advantage of having an empty theater, especially I think it's very specific for, I think, us. This is very inside baseball for someone who has to watch a shit ton of movies every year long. But I think maybe if you're like an average moviegoer, it might be a different answer. But for me, it's definitely empty.
Yeah. Yeah, it just – especially those – we did those back-to-backs when we weren't – between our jobs and Barstool. And the back-to-backs were better when they were empty. They just were. You know, when you would see Maze Runner and then I Love You Pretty or Pretty Lady or whatever Amy Schumer's movie was. Like,
I Feel Pretty.
Yeah, it's, I mean, I Feel Pretty. We had two people in there, and I remember you in the middle of the movie just ripped a very loud fart in the middle of the movie.
Oh, it clapped those cheeks too. It was like a rip roar. Yeah.
All right, let's go with a couple more. This is more of a joke question, but I laughed. How closely did Kevin Feige and Marvel study the lights, camera, Barstool 1990s throwback episode in preparation for Captain Marvel?
they listened to the first 5 minutes and they turned it off.
Feige's like, fuck this.
Man, I have hats to wear. I'm not watching this, listen to this shit.
Here's the best thing about that episode, though. Dean Blandino was on my TV screen today, and yeah. I immediately thought Dino Blandino and pictured him as Dino from the Flintstones. So not some good came from that.
Yeah.
I said it on the live stream. The second it came on screen, I said Dino Blandino. So that's the one positive we got.
Yeah, very true. Two more, not movie related. What is the best sporting event that you've experienced?
I don't go to sporting events enough. I don't think that's like a good question for me. I don't know about you, Triple Show. Did you go to the Super Bowl?
I've never been to a Super Bowl, but I went to the 2006, it took place in 2007, AFC Championship game where the Colts came back to beat the Patriots. The only meaningful game that the Colts have ever beat the Patriots in, really.
Yeah.
And that was awesome because that old dome was a piece of shit, but it got so loud. And the new stadium's like nice and cool, but it just doesn't have the same feel as that shitty old dome.
The only playoff football game I ever went to was the Giants Falcons game in their Super Bowl year, 2011. And the Falcons scored 2 points on a safety, and then the Giants scored 27 or something like that. And it was a blowout. And it was a total waste of, I think, like $200.
I don't think I've been to a playoff football game. No, I don't think I have.
And that was just, it was miserable. I think she, you know what? The best game I went to, Chargers Jets, I want to say 2013. It was December. And Antonio Gates broke Lance Allworth's franchise receiving record. Nice. So that was something. And the Chargers blew out the Jets, which is fun.
The coolest thing I've seen in person is Usain Bolt winning a gold medal in the 100.
Yeah.
That was like, it's one of those crazy, weird, unique things. Like the vibe there is pretty fucking cool.
Yeah. But I've seen at the Olympics is cool.
See, like the part of the thing with me is I haven't been to many games of my teams because they're all in fucking Cleveland. I've been to plenty of UConn, big UConn moments in the Garden, plenty, but like never really for my professional teams. The last Cavs game, actually, I did go see LeBron when he came back, but there was a point I saw Baron Davis and the Cavaliers beat Carmelo Anthony his first game back with the Knicks. Very sad. Cavs tickets were $1. The post LeBron era was very sad time the first time around. Very, very sad. All right, last thing here. I was very offended by this question. And I mean this with love to the Redditor. I won't call out their name. But they said, have you guys ever had Texas Roadhouse? First of all, I mean, we talk about chain restaurants almost every episode. So this was crazy. Oh, if you haven't heard our chain restaurant ranking episode, it's one of my favorite episodes. Maybe not to listen to, but that we did. I enjoyed doing that one. We should rank food again sometime soon. I haven't done it in a while. He said, I'm sure Trill has, but then didn't know if Ken Jack and I have. We've mentioned that, but here's the hammer. Made this line. It's much better than Outback. Don't agree with that whatsoever.
It's much better at being in a Big Lots parking lot than Outback.
You can and like preface that you can select your own meat, and they say the bread is great at Outback, and I don't want to have to select my fucking steak. I had a Texas Roadhouse in Orlando, which is, with the exception of Indiana, the pinnacle of chain restaurants in the country, and it was the worst chain restaurant experience I've ever had in my life, with the exception of a place that I went to in New England, which I'm pretty sure Ken Jack, you know, it's like 99. It's like 99s or something. Fuck, what's it called? Chain restaurant. The Ground Round, I had a bad experience too.
Fuck Ground Round, man. They stink. There's 99 restaurant pub.
I like Texas Roadhouse, but it's not on the same tier as Outback in my eyes.
Not at all. Yeah, 99 was the worst I've had. But no, I agree. I don't understand. I don't get it. Menu items stink. The appetizers stink.
I disagree. I think it's good. It's just not as good as Outback. Outback is the pinnacle of casual dining for me.
Keep in mind, I'm being very biased. I'm being very biased here.
I know.
It's not the worst. Though I will say, I was offended. I was offended. It's better. That Ayers Rock, man.
So much better.
Were you more offended by him asking you if you knew what Texas Roadhouse was or saying it's better?
It's not the fact that he asked if we had eaten there. It's the fact that he asked and then tried to flex that it's better. I didn't like that. Like, it was basically him looking. And again, he posted a legitimate question on Reddit. That's all I asked for. So I love you guy who posted or gal who posted this. But it was just like, it was kind of looking down on us a little bit. Like, oh, have you heard of this better restaurant than that shit that you talk about all the time? I didn't like that. Didn't love it.
I like the peanuts in the barrel. In the waiting area of a Texas Roadhouse.
Yeah.
I also had Five Guys. What's the difference to that?
I haven't been to Five Guys in months. I'm due for a Five Guys hamburger appointment.
Five Guys is so fucking good.
I haven't been in forever. How could you possibly think that Outback isn't better? Because I would say that the Bloomin' Onion is better than anything served at Texas Roadhouse.
And they have their own version of Bloomin' Onion, which is not even as fucking good. It's not,
yeah,
as
not
good.
Even close. I would take, like, if
Cactus Blossom.
If I was given the option never eat at Texas Roadhouse again or only take the Bloomin' Onion off the Outback menu, I would take get rid of Texas Roadhouse. Like, blow them all up. I don't care.
Ooh, okay. What do you think of when you think of McDonald's? What's the iconic thing that you think of with McDonald's?
Fries.
Big Mac.
Fuck. No, I mean like anything, like logo, like McDonald's.
The arches,
right?
Ray Kroc.
What do you think of when you see Five Guys? Because for me, Fights walked into the office today with a nondescript brown bag with a load of grease sipping, like seeping from the bottom. I immediately knew it's Five Guys. That's crazy. Like when you see somebody holding a brown bag, no logo, and there's grease stains in the bottom, I think most of the time you assume that's Five Guys.
I associate Five Guys with restaurant decor that looks like it's in the bathroom of an Arby's or something.
Yes, yeah, that's a good call.
Yes. It looks like an Applebee's bathroom.
Yeah.
Like, all like, tile.
Like a nice Frisch's Big Boy bathroom.
Mm.
All right. Well, that's that episode. Again, not a long one, a little palate cleanser for the week.
I've been watching A Handmaid's Tale.
Yes, you have.
It's good. The first season was really good, and the second season was okay. I do. The only complaint I have about the show is I think Elizabeth Moss is a hell of an actress, but the show has a lot of facial close-ups that linger on her forever. It's 50% that. Yeah, it's you know, she does a great job acting in them, but just in terms of pacing, it's like half the episode is a close-up of someone's face. That's my only complaint with the show, but it's enjoyable.
I have something to add on to it. I finished Burn Notice, all 7 seasons of it. Gotta say, don't like how they wrapped up Michael's story in season 4.
You said, hold on, I gotta pull this up.
Did they get the burn notice at the end? Did it come through in the fax machine?
I don't want to tell you. I want you to watch it and find out for yourself.
I don't know what a burn notice is.
That's when a spy gets burned. When you're burned, you got nothing.
You said this was on December 27th. Ken Jack said, almost on season 4 of Burn Notice. It's so goddamn good. Churro applied 4 minutes later. No, it's not. And you said, try it before you knock it, bitch. And Churro said, no.
I think when I said I finished Burn Notice 2 a few days ago in the chat, I was like at fucking 4 a.m. Like, I just stayed up and I couldn't stop watching it because I just wanted to see what happened. And it was just such an unsatisfying ending. Stunk. He was like, oh, it was very annoying. But basically, it came down to him. He was going to be with like this awesome chick or be with Fiona, who stinks. And then he chose Fiona. So it really, really hated it.
Speaking of brands, have we seen the brand new Abe Lincoln Pizza Hut commercial?
Yes, not a fan.
I don't like it. Trill?
No, I have not seen that.
All right, I'm going to send it to you. We're going to have to get a comment back on that. I don't like it. It's Abe Lincoln with his current family. He got rid of Mary Todd apparently, and now it's a regular suburban family, and he's trying to flex on his family about being on the $5 bill. Ooh, that's a bad look. Yeah, I don't like it. What else?
That one commercial with like all the people wearing like monochromatic clothes and like they all are running. I don't know what it's for, but it's an Apple commercial.
iPhone XR.
My phone? That's commercial for my own damn phone?
Yeah, it's every fucking commercial break.
I know. And like, it's not a terrible commercial, but now I've seen it so many times. I hate it. Yeah, I just hate it now because it's on all the time.
So there was, let's see if you can pick this up. I was watching The Simpsons on Hulu last night, and they made the same exact USA joke that we did, speaking of Burn Notice.
Okay.
B minus. No one ever watches a B minus, but that's crazy. It could never work.
It already has. Are you familiar with the USA Network?
Sure. Royal Pains, Suits, White Collar.
Have you ever seen any of those shows?
No, but somebody must have. Surely somebody.
There is no USA Network.
That's really good.
That's really good, yeah.
That's great.
They did a whole game show segment on SNL, like a skit, where it's like, how well do you know Burn Notice? It was hosted by Jason Sudeikis.
It was really funny. He's like, tell us one thing about the show Burn Notice. And all three contestants just sit there and they don't, like, they buzz and they're like, it's a show about a psychiatrist. Like, nope. It's pretty funny.
I like Jason Sudeikis on SNL. Thought he was mostly funny. I want to note, too, we did not, I want to clear something up. We did not hate on Mrs. Maisel last week.
That was so misconstrued.
We said, good show, for sure. No doubt. If we watched it, we would fucking love it. We just aren't going to watch it. That's all we said. And that's the same thing with The Office. We all acknowledge The Office, very funny show, especially the early seasons. We do not hate The Office. We just sick of the gifts. We just don't like the gifts anymore.
The thing is, with both of those, like, we could not have been possibly more clear. Like, we said over very, very clearly, we think this show is very, very good, but we will not watch it. And then immediately the first 10 comments on Reddit are, yo, the OCB boys hating on Miss Maisel. What the fuck? And we're like,
the fake Reddit media just really coming after us. Just real.
Like, do you know how to listen?
But to be fair, we've talked enough about The Office where I could see people saying we hate Mrs. Maisel. I want to be clear. It's definitely a good show. I don't want to be on the wrong side of history on that one.
I just want to be perfectly clear.
Oh, let's be clear.
Let's be clear. I have nothing against the marvelous Mrs. Maisel. Okay. It's on Amazon.
That was an awesome. I just want to pause. That was a great impression, Troll.
Thank you very much.
No, fuck me, dude. It's really bad.
you're so mean to me.
All right, last thing, Troll.
Yeah. I'm done.
No, I'm saying, like, what? You have nothing else?
Well, I was going to say, I would watch The Marvelous Mrs. Maisel if it wasn't on Prime Video. I know that I have Prime Video, but I don't hang out on Prime Video.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, why not? There's so many good shows on it.
I know, but I feel like I can only do two ecosystems at once. And so I have Netflix and Hulu, and adding in a third ecosystem is just going to blow my mind.
Dude, so for the trailer blogs, I just use all the systems I actually, or all the streaming platforms I actually use, which is Hulu, Netflix, Amazon Prime, and HBO Go. And I watch the stuff on all of them. It's fucking miserable.
Mm.
Between that and having to watch all the movies, my brain is like broken all the time.
They just released a new trailer for Game of Thrones.
Yeah, I watched. So there's nothing really going on in it.
All right. Well, we're going to be reviewing Holmes and Watson and Green Book this week. I am so excited for Trill to see Holmes and Watson. I'm very excited because Trill's the eternal optimist, or the eternal poptimist, as Pop Chips called Martin Luther King that one time.
Oh, my God. I love those days on Twitter. I know they didn't say it on Twitter. They didn't in an ad or something. But like, just when brands were so fucking stupid.
Side note, make sure you go to on Twitter at WickedPissaJD. That's Jeffrey Donovan. And tell him to come on Lights Camera Podcast. He responded to me on Twitter today, and I think we got a thing going. We can get him on here to talk about Burn Notice and Fargo and Sicario and some other stuff he's in. Great guy. Remember, at WickedPissa, PISSAJD.
Is he from Boston?
Yeah, he's a big Boston guy, which is why I think it fits. Everything fits so perfectly. He might just join Barstool for good.
Yeah. Who knows?
He's not following anybody. He's
following 127 people.
We need to get him to follow you.
Yeah.
So that you can slide into his DMs.
That's the two things we need him to do. We need him to follow me. He follows Bruce Campbell. I want both of those guys to follow me. We need to get him to follow me and also come on the pod. So don't forget, at WickedPissaJD, tell him to come on Let's Camera Pod.
Sounds all right. Like an ESPN commenter name.
Yeah,
it does. That's it. Holmes and Watson, Green Book. Not sure what we're going to rank or like create or something. I don't know. We'll figure it out. We always do. Something with comedies, I'm sure, because Holmes and Watson, though, it can barely be described as a comedy.
If that.
All right. That's it. For Ken, Jack, and Trill, I'm Jeff Lowe. We'll talk to you later this week.
Have a good week at the box office.